Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
It is Will's Ways to Save. Our buddy Matt Granick, Channel 3's morning news is in. I did a walkthrough at Best Buy the other day looking at some stuff just to know, you know, tech and Christmas and what some of the things we're talking about. I think I walked by as many rows of personal assistants as I walked by rows of these drones, the different options that are out there. Morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bill. You're absolutely right. And drones, believe it or not, still a really hot holiday gift. They've changed a little bit. It's not just some type of quadcopter that you can fly.
Right.
The features tied to them are actually more similar to those looking for GoPros. I know that sounds weird, but people are buying drones now for photography, 4K video, aerial footage, just a really good way to enjoy the day, capture beautiful footages of your dog running through the park or beautiful footage of a family member. So that's what I went in search of, your top way to capture that.
Are they getting easier to operate? And tell me about the one you found with a unique feature.
They are. Yep. They're more easy to operate than ever before. They have different types of gravity sensors, and they really are, again, not the type of thing where you would lose it in the air or accidentally fly it onto a neighbor's roof. Really intelligent systems.
Mm-hmm.
The same processors and the same chips that you would find in an iPhone or very similar to an Android device are now being put into drones. So they're smart. And the one that I found today is extremely intelligent. Yes, you can fly it. Yes, it's a lot of fun. Great for beginners or advanced pilots. But it can lock in on an object of your choice using facial recognition. And then, you know, you got your selfies. Captures whatever it is you want from the air. It can follow objects, people, cars. Really an interesting way to get beautiful 4K video or photos. And if you do want to check it out, it's at Black Friday pricing today.
GPS positioning and more, great quality. Interesting item. And like I said, I was kind of surprised how many options were out there as I walked through. So you're right, it's going to be another hot gift this year. Yeah.
I've been testing these drones since Consumer Electronics Show 2017, and this is still today the best one I've used.
All right, tomorrow we get some more Black Friday stuff, because tomorrow it'll be a week from today, Thanksgiving, and tomorrow, of course, officially a week away from whatever Black Friday means to you, I guess, huh?
Oh, it's the kickoff. We're going to make sure the stores don't ruin your Thanksgiving on Will's Ways to Save tomorrow.
Matt Granick, Channel 3's Morning News. Watch him there this morning. Back here same time in the morning. We'll get to some Black Friday deals. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Get Mike Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. I kind of wondered, at Charlotte, after New York the other night, how they'd play. Came out and got a win.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. It wasn't great early. In fact, they allowed 67 points in the first half, Bill. But in the second half, they tightened things up. And they would, after trailing by 6 at the intermission, they were up by 4 entering the fourth and down the stretch with just under 3 minutes to play. This play put it away.
Batum across court. Pass picked off by LeBron James. He goes all the way and crushes home. Oh my! LeBron James now has 31 points. He's given the Cavaliers a 111-102 lead.
And you can see LeBron's thunderous dunk. Just go to WTAM.com. Scooter's got it posted on the Wills and Snyder page. Cavs went on to win it 115-107. That gives them 3 wins in a row, their longest win streak of the season, as Coach Lou put it.
I'm seeing some great strides right now in the last 5 games. We've really been, you know, playing better defensively, playing better offensively, and, you know, just trying to figure it out, you know, playing without a point guard and doing what we can just to make things work. So guys are doing a good job of putting in the extra work, and, you know, it's coming.
Well, it's coming along. They're now 8-7, so we'll take those baby steps. LeBron led the way with 31. Cavaliers get home now for a game against the Clippers tomorrow night. That'll be a 7:30 start. They'll play 3 of their next 4 at the Q. For the first time in franchise history, the Indians have a 2-time Cy Young Award winner, as Corey Kluber was the overwhelming choice in the American League. He went 18-4 with a 2.25 earned run average. Unfortunately, the only blemish on the year for Corey were his 2 postseason performances, but as he reflected,
when you take a step back and you look at the course of the 162 games, you know, I think there are a lot of special moments throughout the season. Most noteworthy would probably be the winning streak.
There was a lot of fun in the season that was, but it just ended a little too early, didn't it? Boston's Chris Sale was the runner-up, while teammate Carlos Carrasco finished 4th in the voting. Washington's Max Scherzer was the National League Cy Young winner. Now we'll find out who wins the MVP tonight. Jose Ramirez is a finalist. Browns were back on the practice field yesterday as they prepare for Sunday's game against Jacksonville, that all of a sudden has a little more spice in it when Jaguar safety Tayshawn Gibson, a former Brown, let the Browns have it, as he was upset at the way the the Sashi Brown front office treated him on the way out of Cleveland 2 years ago, and he ripped the organization and said his Jaguars would win 40-0 Sunday, and the Browns would go 0-16. Them's fighting words, but as Hugh Jackson says,
it's not about that. I don't think we need any motivation. We're 0-9 football team, so I don't think we're looking for anything. The opportunity to play is motivation enough for this football team. You know, we want to win. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, what better way to let Gibson have it than to go out and get a win on Sunday. 1 o'clock kickoff this week. NFL week starts tonight in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers host the Titans. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
President Trump spent a part of his day up on Capitol Hill yesterday. A lot of different stories out of Washington. Our Bill Zemfer joins me this morning. Hey, Bill, good morning. Let me jump around a bit. Let me first start with, are we going to get any tax reform? There's some talk of maybe piggybacking some health care at Capitol Hill. I think even President Trump went over to see what's going on, huh?
Yeah, and the president will be back there again today, Bill. Good morning. He will go over to the House of Representatives just to kind of rally the troops as they prepare to vote on their tax reform package. And the way it looks right now, it looks like they've got it in the bag. One representative said he figures there were 8 no's on the Republican side. They can afford up to 22 defections before the bill goes down. Every Democrat expected to vote against this tax bill. Then it would have to go on and go to the Senate, where they are working on their own plan as well, but still a long way to go.
Yeah, and their own plan looks like they want to put some repeal maybe of whatever health care currently is. There's already some sign up, of course, right now for Obamacare. Okay, the president's cabinet, been almost a year. Tillerson may be on his way out?
Well, that's coming up again, Bill. Of course, this was speculated earlier when the whole moron comment came to light. And it's no secret that President Trump and Rex Tillerson have had their go-rounds ever since the administration took office back in January. But now Politico reporting that Tillerson could be replaced by CIA Director Mike Pompeo, who has apparently gained the favor of the president in a series of meetings and meets with the president every day, not only on security issues, but also accompanies the president on other meetings, according to that report. And also in this report, Pompeo expects to receive and says he would accept a Secretary of State offer. Tillerson, however, is expected to stay till the end of the year. We'll see what happens.
All right, Bill Zemfer on it this morning out of D.C. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
Meanwhile, politics, Alabama, and Roy Moore.
The yearbook so that we can determine, is it genuine? Or is it a fraud?
Obviously, I've made a few people mad. I'm the only one that can unite Democrats and Republicans. Because I seem to be opposed by both.
Should Roy Moore resign, Mr. President?
You must immediately and fully come up with a satisfactory explanation for your inconsistencies.
The Alabama GOP is doing what we do best. We do not care what Washington, D.C. thinks or wants us to do.
Some of the sound of the last 24 hours. All right, a couple things. One, you heard Moore's attorney wanting that yearbook that they've been showing with his signature because they want to look at it very carefully. Sean Hannity challenging Moore, but last night Fox News host Sean Hannity says Alabama Republican Senate nominee Roy Moore has answered his questions about sexual misconduct claims. Hannity last night read an open letter Moore sent him a day after the host gave him 24 hours to explain some inconsistencies. In the letter, Moore denied several of the claims against him and argued they're driven by politics. Moore faces Democrat Doug Jones in the December 12th election to fill the Attorney General Jeff Sessions' seat in Alabama. Alex Castellanos this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100, our political analyst on this. As so many in the GOP establishment running away, but the people of Alabama, at least the Republicans there, seem to be sticking by this guy.
Well, that's kind of why we have elections, isn't it, Bill? You would think. Right now, the entire country seems to be weighing in on this Alabama race. Of course, control of the U.S. Senate is in the hands of this state. This is an important Senate seat when Republicans only have a slim margin in the Senate. So you're seeing a lot of national interest in this thing, but it's a bigger picture. This is also about a feminist surge. This is about women voting in record numbers recently in Virginia. Yesterday, there was a special election in Oklahoma for a state legislative seat where the Democrat ran 20 points ahead of Hillary Clinton and took a Republican seat. Republicans don't want to stand in front of a speeding train. Increase the And that's why Judge Roy Moore Republicans don't want him to be the face of the Republican Party.
They don't want a harassment story around the party at the national level then, huh?
They don't want that story for 2018. If Judge Roy Moore is in the Senate, that's going to be the face of the Republican Party. It'll be on the news constantly. And so one is, the atmosphere has changed. The harassment now, women we're seeing in Hollywood and the news media, we're
right.
seeing it in Congress. And so morally it's an important issue, but politically it has a huge impact on Republican votes.
You know, get you out of here on this. On your point, if Moore is elected and he goes in, what plays out is every local race at the local candidate forum, when they get together and ask questions, this is one of the things that will come up in every race. How do you handle situations like this, right?
Well, it sucks all the oxygen out of the rest of your campaign.
Yeah.
It prevents you from getting a message out. It makes the Republican Party seem anti-woman. Last I checked, they were half the vote. So, yes, it's not something you want to be dealing with. Republicans are trying to put it behind them and get him out of the way. There doesn't seem to be an easy way to do that.
Alex Castellanos on his take. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Polling numbers out of Alabama. Roy Moore now 12 points behind the Democrat Doug Jones. Well, they're concerned about that seat because, indeed, if it goes Democrat, the majority of Republicans in the Senate extremely thin to get anything done on that side. Rush Limbaugh with the latest, and of course, his take at noon. You got the news, and Rush follows on News Radio WTAM 1100. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins me every week. We get together, talk about the beer business in Northeast Ohio, and so many places to enjoy a drink, as well as restaurants and all. Morning, Mark.
Hey, Bill.
Before we get to some recognition, let's talk about some growth and congratulations. It seems like about every week you have a Fatheads story and the Fathead Brewery and the expansion this week, right?
Yeah, I love Fatheads. You know, Fatheads is interesting because we've talked a lot about their expansion this year, and the funny thing is their beers are not in a lot of states. They're only in a small handful, maybe three. Matt Cole told me a while ago they're really concentrating on Ohio and the immediate area. Now, we've talked a lot about the giant, ambitious project they have off of Interstate 71 in Middleburg Heights. That one's on Engle Lake Drive, right off of Bagley Road. But the other project that's been kind of under the radar, they're also going to be expanding in Canton. Now, this is in a very busy area in the Belden Village area, Everhard Road and Whipple Avenue. So a huge commercial area. It's a little bit more than 10,000 square feet. This has been in the works for over a year, but it's getting real right now. They had brewing equipment. Tanks came in a little over a week ago. More tanks are coming in this week. They're looking at more than 10,000 square feet, 225 seats. They've got Matt tells me they've got a really nice patio area that'll seat about 50 more. Really nice location for a brewery. Very smart expansion because there's not a lot of brewery competition in the area. So Royal Docks Brewing Company doing a wonderful job, but they're about 5 miles away. I think they might be the closest. So basically, Fatheads has two simultaneous expansion projects going, Middleburg Heights as well as Canton. I'd say look for openings. I'm guessing maybe first quarter of next year.
Mark, last Saturday, my wife and I, Mindy and I, were in that Belden Village area. There's a Kirkland's there, which is why we went. I mean, you know, she wanted to go buy some stuff and shop around. Anyway, that is an amazing area. So much strength, retail, restaurants, the shopping. That's a busy, busy spot, you know?
Oh, very much so. They've had a lot of growth there in the area. You know, that's the area where you probably remember this, Bill. That's the area that wasn't it 12 or 13 years ago a tornado went through Jackson Township.
Yes.
So
yes.
And now you've got this hustling and bustling area, and you know, good for them.
Yep, a really good area for shopping and restaurants and all. And congrats on the Fatheads and the expansion. Okay, another story here. Platform Beer. They've got an interesting charitable program. Tell me about this.
Yeah, you know, when Platform started, they really started off with the idea of helping others. At first, they started off as an incubator business program because they were going to have other brewers come in, and they did. They had several who came in, they trained, they just farmed them off to go off on their own if they wanted to brew on their own. Now they're starting something. They're going to start a pretty ambitious nonprofit program. It's called Nonprofit Tuesdays. So every Tuesday at the tasting room, the brewery is going to donate a buck for every beer sold to a local charitable group. in a separate venture, but kind of related, the brewery is also going to be giving a dollar from every case of New Cleveland Pilsner sold in the region to a local charity. So that, and this is really neat. Two things going off at once. They're doing this. You know, Platform has expanded very, very much throughout the state. So they're doing this, and they started it in Columbus, their Columbus location, a little over a week ago, and they just recently started it this week in Cleveland. And the initial charity is going to be Bike Cleveland, but they're going to be rotating these charities on a very regular basis. The weekly Nonprofit Tuesday will have a different nonprofit group every week. The other program, where they give a dollar from the case of New Pilsner, that's going to change out. That's probably going to rotate every 6 months. But this is neat. I really love philanthropy. I've written about brewers and philanthropy. People don't realize it, but a lot of groups go after these brewers all the time saying, hey, can we have a keg for this? Can we have a keg for that? They give as much as they can. These are small businesses who are giving back, and almost all of them will give back very much to the very centric to the local Northeast Ohio community where they where they're located. So, good for Platform. I think it's wonderful.
Well said. We help the community. It's just good business. All right. One final note here. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, with me. Let's get you out of here on an award for everybody enjoying their different Christmas ales. Thirsty Dog got nice recognition, right?
This was fun. The folks down at Twisted Burgers and Sushi in Medina held a really fun Christmas ale face-off. They did a smart thing. They had two different types of judging competitions simultaneously. They had five judges who evaluated the beers blind, so they didn't know which ones they were getting. Four of the five judges chose in a blind competition, did choose Thirsty Dog out of Akron. The public was able to vote, but they knew what they were drinking. So they would order whatever they wanted. They can get a taste, a sample, a pint, whatever they wanted, and they can vote for which ones they chose. That vote was much closer. They had almost 240 votes cast, and Thirsty Dog won by almost 20 votes.
Wow.
So it was a really tight race. I love the fact they did this during election week. It's the first place I've seen in the area that already has a Christmas tree up. They were really getting in the spirit. busy area, you know, down in Medina on Pearl, right north of the square. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, Adam Langston, the general manager out there, reached out to me a while ago about this, and they packed in. I mean, that place was packed. It was tough for anyone to get a parking spot that night. Really did a nice job, and they also had it was a tap takeover, so they had four beers each of Thirsty Dog and Great Lakes, and people had a blast.
That's,
I mean, you
spot.
Know, this time of year, people love their Christmas ales, and this is proof of that.
They do. That Twisted's a good spot in Medina to grab something to eat or drink. Good stuff. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Theater, Cleveland.com. And I'm giving Mark some homework. At some point in our visits the next couple of weeks, give me like your top five to try maybe over the holidays, okay?
That's tough to pare down, but I'm going to do it.
If you got to go six, we'll go. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, mbona30. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
You get best team coverage of the Browns. Joining us now, former Browns center Dave Willebaugh, played nine seasons in the NFL, now calls Northeast Ohio home. We got to Jacksonville here on Sunday, of course. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Dave.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy. You are a pro's pro. You've been very careful about your analysis of the team, you know, being professional the whole time. And I want to mention that because Tayshaun Gibson had a little trouble this week with a few comments he made about the Browns and being 0-16. He backed off a little bit. I mean, there's something about bulletin board material, but still the guys on the field, you're part of the same thing. You're in the NFL, right?
Yeah, you know, I think whenever you leave an organization, especially if it's not necessarily by choice or you feel slighted in any way, you know, there's always a bit of venom. And I think that when you go to another organization, you definitely see the differences in terms of, you know, I left New England, I came to Cleveland, I left Cleveland by getting cut and going to St. Louis. So there's always a different perspective when you go. But at the same time, you see what's going on in those different organizations. If you didn't leave on your terms, I think sometimes you want to, if you feel really slighted or maybe not mature about it, or you're not being a pro, you tend to take a shot back at that team. And I think that's what he did, unfortunately. But it's definitely good material for the guys to get motivated by, for sure.
Hey, Dave, have you seen a case over the years where, you know, you were part of it, where maybe it was some bulletin board material that really did maybe have some impact?
You know, not really, because to be honest with you, like, if he said that in the media, he's been running his mouth about it probably for the last couple of weeks. It's been circled on his calendar. Everybody knows where he's coming from, and that's not, you know, uncharacteristic of most guys, because again, whether you have buddies on another team or whether you were, you know, with formula organization, you didn't like the coach, whatever that is, at the end of the day, it's really more about that individual. It's not going to impact, you know, the offensive linemen aren't going to be looking for him. You know, they might maybe take a shot at him if he's sitting by a pile or something like that. I think that those kind of things can happen. But overall, in the general context of the game, it's really probably not going to swing the emotion all that much.
Yeah, Dave, the thing is with Gibson's comments here that does bring to mind, and I hope he eats his words about the 40-0 and all of that, but he's a reminder to me. I mentioned earlier that he was a guy that kind of came out of nowhere. I recall when he had a great camp. He was undrafted, free agent. Great story. Really achieves a level to be a starting safety in this league. And we see guys like that, and I think that's what he was talking about, too, and defending him, at least in part of, like, boy, you let Benjamin go. You let Schwartz go. You let Mack. Now, you can't keep everybody. There's the business part of it. But the point is, it seems like this organization, they get some guys that they kind of grow. Terrell Pryor was a guy that, you know, maybe they should have found a way to keep him here last year, even though his agent was unreasonable. Do you see what I'm saying? That they've had some guys try to build a core. So they've let some good players, good guys leave and who've gone elsewhere and played.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, we see that. You know, you look at a guy like Gibson is a great example where he came out of nowhere, to your point, and he achieved a certain level that probably could have been a significant contributor and probably at a reasonable price. But we, you know, for whatever reason, they deem he's not part of the organization. Now, that's how you build your organization over a period of time. You keep guys like him who you get at a good value, who develop inside your system. That's what Green Bay does. They draft guys, they develop them. And they create their own team. I think that's how you build a long-term culture. That's how you build a long-term team. And I think when you backpedal, and I think this is what Gibson tried to do through his secondary comments, was saying this was more targeted towards the organization and the structure of it rather than the players. And maybe that's really what he was getting at, was just simply just saying that they were dysfunctional in his opinion. And when he saw Jacksonville, but at the end of the day, you know, he's not paid to give personnel decisions. He's paid to go out and play. And if they don't deem that his performance is worth a certain dollar amount, they're going to let him go. But to your point, we need to keep more of those guys around to build our core rather than, you know, to go out and recreate the wheel, you know, every couple of years.
Dave Olibaugh on the Browns. Bernie, this time tomorrow. Good luck to the Orange against Louisville tomorrow. And have a good Thanksgiving. Won't talk before then. Take care. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Nice. See you, buddy.
You too.
Cleveland Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. John Michael back after calling a 115-107 win in Charlotte last night. Your Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, John.
Morning, guys.
I kind of wondered how they'd come out last night after that the game in New York, and they do get the win last night.
Yeah, I thought they were strong, particularly in the second half. It took a while. Defensively, the Cavs gave up 67 points in the first half, 37 in the second quarter alone. But in the second half, they held the Hornets to only 40 points, and they come away with that 8-point victory. And I think, you know, Coach Lou found something on this road trip as he'd been playing a lineup with the trio of Channing Frye, Kyle Korver, and Dwayne Wade together. That Cavs threesome has been the best combination for the Cavs over the last two games. Those guys have been on the floor for 40 minutes. The Cavs are a plus 30 during that stretch. They roar from behind in New York as they erase a 23-point deficit in the second half three nights ago. And then last night they finished the trip 3-1 with that victory against Charlotte. All in all, successful road trip and back to work tomorrow against the Clippers.
You know, John, one of the things I thought with Channing Frye in the last two games, I think the last couple of years we've looked at him as a big man that can make threes, but these last two nights it really hasn't been about threes for him. He's been going inside and he's really helped out inside, hasn't he?
I think that's what's most surprising about that group I talked about, Mike. I mean, when you look at Channing Frye, Kyle Korver, and Dwayne Wade, you mean those guys throughout their career, they've been known for what they can do in the offensive end of the floor. But Channing last night was a plus 14 in 20 minutes of play, far and away the best mark for the Cavaliers. He grabbed 8 boards in those 20 minutes, Mike. He also had a block. So what the Cavs did on that defensive end, including Channing Frye with that mix, has been what's won them each of the last two games. So I agree. It was nice to see Channing provide some of those backup big minutes with Tristan Thompson on the shelf and do so successfully over the last couple of games.
And just kind of following up on that, LeBron gets his fourth foul about 3.5 minutes to go, third quarter. Cavs at the time trail, but by the end of the third quarter with him on the bench, they regain the lead. That's something, John, we have not seen happen very often when LeBron leaves a game, the Cavaliers actually win in the minutes that he's sitting on the sidelines.
No question. And I think it's another promising thing that, you know, we're seeing these hybrid lineups not only, you know, keep pace, but also get the Cavs back into ball games. We also, Mike, are seeing LeBron rest for longer stretches. And we know he's going to have to do that this season. I mean, last year he led the league in minutes per game. Now the minutes are still up, but we have seen, you know, stretches for 5 or 6 minutes at a time in game time where he's on the bench. And we saw that so rarely last season. And it's going to be another luxury, I think, for Tyronn Lue. As you have this veteran lineup, you have this better bench, you can rest LeBron James for larger stretches, which is what you want to do, obviously, during the regular season before we hit money time in April. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of good things that we've seen out of this trip. Again, the, you know, 3 or 4, you'll take that any day on any road trip. And the Cavaliers hope to keep some of that momentum rolling against the Clippers tomorrow night.
7:30, they'll tip it off at the Q tomorrow night. John Michael will have the call. And this time tomorrow morning, we'll be talking to Jim Jones up to Detroit then on Monday. John Michael, after a 115-107 win in Charlotte last night with your morning Cavaliers update. Thanks, John.
All right, guys, take care.
Pick up on this maybe today. A guy named Bert Sperling put together a list of cities, I guess what, based on what Amazon says they were looking for?
Yeah, a combination of what Amazon's criteria has been for this HQ2, but also the factors that result really from other polls, from other data that they've been pulling in from other media outlets. So they kind of combined everyone's suggestions and recommendations as well as the criteria and pulled it all together that way. And they listed 64 of the more than 240 bids. And really, it seems as though big cities are ruling the day, at least in this list. They're number one, Atlanta. In fact, they say, trust me, Orlando, it's going to be Atlanta. So they think Atlanta's number one. Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., rounding out your top five. And really basing a lot of that on the population. Do you have an educated population, a tech-savvy population, the transportation that goes along with it? The thought of rebuilding a city like Gary, Indiana, it just doesn't seem appealing to a lot of the experts. So they don't think that's the way Bezos is going
to
go.
It'd be interesting to see which way Bezos goes, how much of the decision based on business versus culture? You know, he can go in and help change a city like you're talking about, or, hey, what's the best business decision for me in the short and long run?
Absolutely. And, you know, some of those factors include what are the state income taxes? What is the cost of living? Is it a cultural fit? You know, he's going to have a lot of probably young employees. Is the place they're talking about going to be a fit for these people to live? So, you know, there are a lot of factors. And once again, Amazon has not given 1 ounce of hint one way or another outside of the criteria they release. So Sperling's right now has Cleveland at number 40.
40.
Out of the 64 that they listed. Remember, there were 240-some bids.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, one of the things around here, though, has been how quiet and private the information has been. The people that put the bid together don't want other people to know what maybe we bid and how we did it. We're probably not alone with other cities in that.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't know what the tax incentives have been for all of these locations. We don't know if there's been land that's been issued. And there are always these intangibles, right? I mean, a company, a CEO who picks a business because of where his wife or where her husband is from, you know, if they like baseball, if they like the opera. So, I mean, you can never quite, you know, realize what all of those intangibles are.
Interesting list. Ryan Burrow on it. Thanks, Ryan. Sperling, the guy that did it, again, puts Cleveland at 40. Other Ohio cities that also put bids in, Cincinnati, they gave 29th. Columbus, I think, 35th, and Cleveland 40th on this list. Again, it's Sperling took this and just looked at what Amazon said they were looking for, possibly, and then ranking the cities. And we'll see what happens. Amazon officially, I guess, will give some notice sometime next year on who is in the top five as they continue that.